Sentire Media.
Gaining Italian citizenship is a dream for a lot of people. It offers not just a passport to really one of the most beautiful countries in the world, but it's also a gateway to European living. Because when you hold an Italian passport, you immediately inherit all of the rights of the European Union, which means freedom to live or work or go to school in any EU country without the need of a visa. So an Italian passport, although is great homage to your Italian ancestors, it's also the red ticket into the entire European Union. And for many of you applying for your Italian citizenship, you know, it's going to be a very long process. And some may have to petition the courts in Italy due to the specific circumstances of your family line. And others of you might have to wait to get an appointment, which is years right now, at local Italian consulates. But did you know that there is a faster way to apply for Italian citizenship? And it's a way that you can apply and be recognized and have your passport in hand in just a few months. And the way I'm talking about is to apply directly in Italy. And we call this a fast track. Now, although it is super fast, there are a few catches to this plan that we're going to talk about today. And not just to help you decide if this is the best route for you, but to also clear up a lot of misinformation out there that is getting a lot of people into trouble. Today, I'm going to talk about fast track to Italian citizenship. I'm going to be covering the qualifications, the steps, the time, the costs, and the common pitfalls, especially when bringing your spouse along. I'm also going to let you in on what our citizenship team says are the best and the worst places in Italy to submit your application. This, my friends, is a doozy, so let's get started. I'm Samantha Wilson, Chief Dreammaker at SmartMoveItaly.com, and this is A New Life in Italy, a show where each week I take you behind the scenes of what it's really like to move to Italy, introduce you to some fascinating people, answer your questions, and show you how starting a new life in Bel Paese is possible for you. Well, welcome back, dreamers and doers, to A New Life in Italy. I'm Samantha Wilson, and today we are unlocking the door to one of maybe your biggest dreams, and that is becoming an Italian citizen. Now, this is a path that is filled with bureaucracy. Surprise, surprise. So patience and a touch of good luck is really going to take you a long way here. I will be sharing with you some insider knowledge that comes right from our own citizenship team inside of Smart Move Italy. All of these people work every day in the trenches to help people claim their Italian citizenship. Now, although they work in all of the different areas, including 1948 petitions, no appointment cases, and consulate applications, one of the more popular ways to apply directly in Italy is called the fast track. And that's because it is the fastest way to apply and be recognized these days. But it's not as simple as arriving in Italy and walking into the comune or the town hall of your ancestor and applying there. There's lots of rules and lots of procedures that are classically Italian, meaning completely confusing and complex for no apparent reason. But nonetheless, these processes need to be followed if you want to succeed. So let's start from the very beginning, and that is the question about qualification, because it's not all applications that can qualify for a fast track in Italy. I'm going to start with the easiest way to understand Italian citizenship law, because this is the basics. That is that you have to be born to an Italian in order to be Italian. It isn't merely where you were born, like in the US or Canada, for example. There, if you are born in the US, you are automatically American, regardless of who your parents are. To be Italian, however, you have to be born to Italian people. And this means that your Italian ancestor had to still be an Italian person when the next non-Italian born person was born. And by being Italian, I mean legally being Italian. So that means that he or she did not give up his or her Italian citizenship and become American or Canadian or Australian or whatever the next nationality is. And this giving up of citizenship before there was dual citizenship, it's called naturalization. And it is the most important milestone that you need to learn about your ancestors and your family to first determine if you qualify. So the question is, did your Italian ancestor naturalize, meaning become another nation like American or Canadian? And if they did, when did they do that? Did they naturalize before or after the next person in line was born? And this is super important because if the answer is that yes, he naturalized before the next child was born, then that next child in line would have actually been born to an American man, for example, not an Italian man. And in this case, the line would be completely broken because when the child was born, the parent was already an American citizen, no longer Italian. And you could only be Italian by blood. So let's say the alternate, if he or she, the Italian, naturalized after the next in line was born, then the birthright was intact. And the child then was born to an Italian person because the parent was still Italian in law at the time of the child's birth. And this is the very good first step in finding out whether or not you qualify. So if your Italian ancestor did indeed keep their Italian citizenship by the time the next in line was born, then right now you have so far a clear line. But there's other things that we need to know first. Citizenship law is super complex, and there are many possible scenarios that can change the way an eligible applicant can apply for citizenship. So sometimes it's the age of the next in line or the gender of the Italian ancestor that can change the course of your application, either where you apply or whether you even can apply. But for this episode, I am only going to focus on one scenario because there is only one scenario that can allow you to apply for a fast track in Italy. So here it is. If your male Italian ancestor never naturalized or naturalized after the next in line was born, then you are eligible to apply via fast track in Italy. Or if your female Italian ancestor never naturalized or naturalized after the next in line was born after 1948, then you are eligible to apply via fast track in Italy. Now, if I've lost you here a little bit, don't worry because I've put this again into the show notes. You can also take a little quiz on our website and I'll show you the link at the bottom of our show notes and at the end of the show today. But basically, if your male or female Italian ancestors never naturalized or naturalized after the next in line was born, if it was a woman, this has to be after 1948, then yes, the fast track in Italy is an option for you. So it's all good news because if either of these happened, you have a lot of choices. Now let's find out what they are. In order to apply for your Italian citizenship, you need to prove the ancestral line. So let's talk about the actual application itself. This means that in order to apply here, you need to, you know, I always say kill a lot of trees here in Italy because they love their paper here. But you do need to get a ton of documents. They all need to be gathered together before you even consider coming to Italy to apply. So the first thing to remember is that your application has got to be complete and ready to submit by the time you arrive. This is a must. And if you know anything about the application process, the application itself is usually really quite large and can take a really long time to put together. But it all has to be done before you arrive. Because if you arrive without a complete documentation, you will be denied at the comune or the place, the town that you've decided to apply at. And you'll have to return to your home country. And if you've made all kinds of plans and moved to Italy, this could be really a very costly exercise and mistake. So the documentation that you need to prove citizenship is really, really extensive. And not only do you need to prove all the vital records, meaning birth, death, and marriage all the way down the line from all of the countries, they all need to be found or collected in a specific format. They have to be apostilled and they have to be translated. And when you're applying here in Italy, these translations need to be sworn in court here in Italy. And this is a completely different process than the consulate. it can take up to maybe a year or more to prepare for an application. So make sure to take your time and be ready. Now, this leads me to clarifying one of the bigger myths out there, and that is that you can just simply arrive in Italy on a holiday, submit your documents, and go home, or stay only a few weeks or maybe 90 days, this is the magical number, and then go home. This is not true. This is false, and it's one of the biggest myths out there. In law, you can only apply for citizenship in the jurisdiction from which you reside. And this is why if you live, for example, in the US, you have to apply at the nearest consulate. So in order to apply for fast track in Italy, you first have to move to Italy. You have to live in the jurisdiction from which you apply. So that means you have to live here, move here full time. This means having a place to live, whether you rent it with a registered lease or buy a property. And you are actually moving your fiscal residence, your taxable residence to Italy. And only then can you be eligible to apply after you have established residency. Moving your fiscal and taxable residency to Italy is a really big decision. So you need to really understand what that means to you and your situation before doing it. Now, if you plan to move to Italy anyway, then applying for your citizenship is the perfect way to come here and do it. Because if you're eligible for citizenship, you don't need a visa to come and stay. And I can't tell you how many times I've had calls with people who thought they needed to get a visa in order to come and apply for citizenship. And the good news is you don't. Now, I'll repeat this point one more time because it's super important that you understand that you have to move to Italy and not just come here for a few months to apply here. After you've applied and are waiting for the decision, of course, you're free to travel, but you have to maintain your residency in Italy for the duration of your application. And if you don't and you only swoop in and apply and swoop back out again, and you get caught, you will be treated like the hundreds of applicants that have recently been caught doing just that, and your citizenship will be revoked. So don't fall for it. If somebody promises you that you only have to stay 90 days, it's not correct. And if you're really serious about getting your Italian citizenship, you need to do it the right way and plan to move to Italy first. If you can't, then you have to choose one of the other options, which is usually a consulate or maybe even a no appointment case. Okay, so you qualify for citizenship via Fast Track. Excellent. And you've confirmed that you want to move to Italy to apply. So the next step then is to understand the timing and the costs involved. Because if you're like me or every other probably North American, patience is not your best attribute. So let's start with that. Let's start with timing. Depending on where you apply, you can expect the entire process to take anywhere between 4 months to maybe a year in total. So this is from the time you apply to the time that you are actually recognized. The fastest that one of our clients have done was just shy of 4 months, and the longest was just a tidge over a year. Now remember, you can apply anywhere, so depending on where you apply can impact your timing. Because this is often another misunderstood part of the fast track. You do not have to apply at your ancestor's hometown, although you might want to if you have some family still there, but otherwise you can apply anywhere in Italy that you like. Keep in mind, cities, big cities, because there's more people, are busier and they're obviously going to take longer to complete the process. Small towns, on the other hand, will be a little faster, but they're also unfamiliar with the process, so it can be a little bit turbulent as you start to proceed. Now, I will tell you the best and the worst places that we have experienced in just a little bit, closer to the end of this episode. But let's say it takes between 4 to 12 months to complete. Now, how much will it cost? The cost to prepare your application can vary depending on whether you complete it yourself or have a specialist do it for you. And it's okay to prepare your application yourself, but if you plan to apply via Fast Track, you really should plan for a full legal review before you get too far down the road. Like before you start renting something and selling up your house and packing to move, you should be sure that everything you have done is correct. Because in 99% of the cases that we review, there is something wrong with the documents or the translations that you're going to need to fix prior to arriving. Now, our reviews, I can't speak for other people, but our reviews start around 500 euros for a full legal review where we'll tell you what's missing and what you need to fix. Now, time is not on your side when you arrive, so this is why it's really important to make sure everything is perfect before you get here, because you only have 90 days to get everything accepted by the comune, the municipality. So you need to ensure everything is great and there's not going to be any questions. In fact, for us, we don't even take a fast track client unless a review is done first. It's that important. There are people who come here with incomplete packages and they get turned around, and it's really, really a terrible experience. Now, I also recommend that you have assistance when you apply in Italy. Unless you speak fluent Italian and have a good understanding of the citizenship procedures and law, then you should get help. Now, it can be a friend or a neighbor or even a professional like we are, but the point is more not who you get, but that you get someone who can speak and advocate on your behalf and who knows exactly what to do and what to say. This is a big deal. You're moving all the way to Italy to apply for your citizenship. So think about how you're going to have support when you get here. I can't speak for all other agencies out there, but to give you an idea of prices, our fast track in person starts, sorry, not in person, but our fast track starts around 2,000 euros from start to finish. So that'll give you a gauge of what you can think of a professional to help you when you're here in Italy. Now, applying in Italy isn't as easy as it can seem because every single comune is different. And that's because it's run by people. And every clerk can interpret the law and the procedures differently. And it can cause a lot of confusion and a lot of stress, especially if you're on this 90-day time limit and if you've packed up everything and have moved here. So the best advice I can give you is to arrive prepared and get your help. Now, let's talk about bringing your spouse. Big other huge question. We already know that the applicant can come to Italy without a visa to apply for citizenship. But what about the spouse? Well, contrary to what many people say, yes, the spouse is permitted to come with the applicant as long as they're legally married and you have accommodation for a couple. That's big enough for a couple. Now, of course, this is Italy, so there's a bunch of documents you need to go to prove that. But as long as you have a place to stay that's big enough for two people and you have income to support yourself when you're here, your spouse also does not need a visa. Now, don't forget that this is Italy. So although in law, your spouse is permitted to apply for a permesso di soggiorno based on the fact that they are married to an Italian citizenship applicant, doesn't mean that every comune or municipality is going to allow it. But in our experience and with the right approach and application, you should be able to apply for a permesso di soggiorno without too much resistance. But if you want to do so, you definitely need to get some help because it's a little bit tricky. A lot of times you will hear people say that your spouse cannot stay more than 90 days, but this is not the case, at least not for our clients, it isn't. Okay, so now we know you qualify for the fast track application. You are preparing to move to Italy. You have completed the application package and someone is there to help you. Now, the big question is, where do you apply? This is the golden question. And unfortunately, an amazing comune or municipality today may turn into a horrible one tomorrow because, like I said, they're run by people. And every place is a little bit different, and not everyone is willing or able or even really competent to follow these sometimes quite complex procedures. So here are my recommendations, actually the recommendations of our citizenship team who works in the trenches every single day. These are their top picks as of now, which, by the way, is April 2024. Not all Italian towns are created equal. Some cities are known for their efficiency and welcoming stance towards applicants, and others may really test your patience. So are you ready to find out what they are? So here's the best places right now. Our favorite place right now is Bisenti in Abruzzo. Now, these are also in the show notes, so feel free to take a look at how to spell these names. Bisenti is this really small town. It's in the hills of Abruzzo. It's not far from the sea. And it is a comune that is really open to foreigners, and that's working really hard right now to attract people because it really does have a lot to offer. Now, their comune and their administration is incredibly helpful, and they're very fast. In fact, the last turnaround time for our clients is about 4 months. I mean, that's super lightning fast in the idea of the other places in Italy. Now, the mayor also in the town of Vicente plays a really important role in the community and very, very active. And I'm sure that you will meet the mayor when you're there if you do go there. It's a beautiful little town. And the bonus is that it's also a 7% flat tax zone. So if that's what you're looking for when you plan to move to Italy to take advantage and retire there, this is a great place. Not only that, the rent is available and it's affordable, and property to buy is also very, very affordable. So that's Vicente in Abruzzo. This is one of our favorite places right now. Now, the next place is Siena in Tuscany, and I'm sure you've heard of this iconic city in the past. It's the home of the Palio, and it's as gorgeous as all of Tuscany is. Now, aside from being beautiful, it's equally easy to work with. The only problem with Siena is finding a rental property, if that's what you need to do, if you need to rent something rather than buy. It can be really difficult there, and mostly because Siena is a popular place, so there's a lot of touristic rentals, which won't work for you if you're here for a fast track. And also, there's a lot of students in Siena, so the competition is fierce. Now, if you're prepared to buy or are not too picky on the rental, then this could also be a good option for you. And another one is up in Maggiore, Lago Maggiore, which is up north in Italy. It's sort of, west of Como, famous Como. And this is also an extremely good and effective comune up there that can help with your citizenship. Now, they're not super fast. It's going to take you about a year to wait, but it's very efficient, super friendly, and they know what they're doing and they work very well. So this is another one of our top picks right now. Now, there's other comuni, of course, but these are the ones who are currently our top three favorite. Now, for the naughty list. Now, most of the time, I will say that the comuni that don't work well are mostly because they're understaffed and they're overworked, so they're grumpy, which we all would be, which I guess really isn't their fault, but it does lead to a less than positive experience and can be quite devastating if you just hit, a rock head that won't work with you when you get there and you've moved all your things to Italy. Now, wait times can be long and they're maybe not so flexible. Generally, big cities, keep this in mind, great big cities should be avoided if you're here about time, especially Bologna. Bologna can be not just very busy and take a long time, but they're especially picky. So they're not the easiest comuni to work with in a number of ways, not just in citizenship. Now, if you head up north to, say, Bolzano, this is also the northern part of Italy, as you've probably heard me say before, is much more organized. So it also means that they're more picky and they'll really comb through your application. So if you have any issues with names or spelling, the north of Italy is not your place to go. Now, the city right now to avoid is Città Sant'Angelo, which is a really gorgeous little city in Abruzzo again. And although very beautiful, the comune, the municipality, and the clerk in there is very stuck and unbendable. And unless something changes, your chances of success in this little town is very, very low. So if you have a chance to choose somewhere else, always choose somewhere other than Città Sant'Angelo at this present time. And there you have it, your roadmap to claiming Italian citizenship through Fast Track. Now, this process is full of bureaucracy. Yes, it is. This is Italy. But also, applying directly in Italy can help you connect to your new community a lot faster because you'll get to know people quicker because you have a purpose of why you're there. So in the end, you'll also not only meet all these people, find your new place of where you're going to live, and you'll be waving your red passport just like everyone else in the town. Now, as I close today's episode, I want to remind you that no two cases are the same. Everyone's journey is different for a number of reasons. And the best way to get through any process here is to have a lot of patience, be completely prepared, have an open heart and very thick skin. And maybe a bottle or two of wine will help you get through as well. Now, the path to citizenship isn't just about getting your passport. It's about weaving yourself back into the fabric of Italian society, of the culture, and of course, your own family history. Thank you for joining me today. And if you are unsure if you qualify for Italian citizenship or want to talk to somebody in our citizenship team, head over to smartmoveitaly.com/citizenship and it'll show you what we can do for you. Until next time, keep dreaming, planning, and pursuing your new life in Italy. Ciao for now. It's time for listener questions. Just like the old radio call-in shows, my team has picked 3 listener questions, all left on our voicemail. I have no idea what these questions are, but I haven't been stumped yet. Are you ready? Let's get started.
Hi, Samantha. This is Sheila again. I want to get this right. If I am looking at moving to Italy, what I want to know is I am married to a full-blooded Italian gentleman. I wonder if that would make me an Italian citizen. And if so, is there anything special that I have to do? Thank you so much.
Hi, Sheila. That is a great question. And it's quite a common question, actually, because we have a lot of people who come here who are married to either Italians or actually European citizens. And why this is important, first of all, for you to move to Italy is because if you are married to an Italian, a passport holding Italian, then you do not need a visa to move to Italy, as long as your Italian partner, moves here and establishes residency in Italy. If that's the case, then you too can do that. So you do not need to have a visa. What happens is you just come here with your husband. He establishes residency first. He has to do it very quickly. So you'll need a house or a place to live before you arrive because you won't have time to find that upon your arrival. So once you arrive here, he takes residency, and right after that, then you apply for a permesso di soggiorno based on the fact that you are married to an Italian. And the nice thing about that is that you get all of the benefits of an Italian citizen, including free healthcare, just because you're married. Now, something to think about is citizenship, which is something entirely different than residency. So the first thing is that you move here, and you can move here without a visa, fairly simple. The second thing is do you want to have Italian citizenship? And if you do, then the fact that you are married, and as long as you have been married for usually more than 3 years, the times, this waiting time changes depending if you have kids, if you live in Italy, you know, and of course it's Italy, so it's complicated. But if you've been married for more than 3 years, then yes, you can apply for Italian citizenship as a spouse of an Italian person. However, you do need to have a certificate of language level B1 proficiency, which is kind of an intermediate level. So you cannot apply until you have that. And that's usually the first thing that people have to get over. So if you haven't done it yet, start learning your Italian. And once you get to the B1 level, then you can look at applying for your citizenship. I hope that helps.
Hi, Sam. This is Alexa. Quick question about elective residency visa passive income. So I've contacted my local consulate in San Francisco, and it turns out they will accept. I have an Airbnb that generates revenue, passive income. I can start to collect Social Security. That will generate passive income. But my biggest chunk of change comes from my business, where I pay myself a salary. Here's the deal. I'm retired. I've hired a management team to run my business, but I still pay myself every month a nice big chunk of change. So how can I convert that money, that revenue from payroll to something that the consulate will accept as passive income? Because I am retired. I no longer work in the business. Thank you.
Hi, Alexa. Thanks for the question. And basically what you have to do is if this company that you are paying yourself from obviously is yours, it really is an accounting procedure that you're going to have to do. Now, I'm going to assume that your company in the US is an LLC. So what you're going to have to do is convert the earnings that you are taking from that company from salary into dividends or shareholders' earnings, these kinds of things, because a salary is implies employment and work and all of the deductions that come off of that. So really what you need to do is speak to your accountant, look at your constitution or the actual LLC, the company structure, make sure there's minutes in there that say they're converting you from a salary into now a shareholder because you are retired, and then start paying yourself in this way, because dividends will be accepted for an elective residency visa.
Hi, Sam, it's Rich. When it comes time to pay your Italian taxes and you don't have an Italian bank account yet, what other payment methods will the government accept so you can pay your tax bill?
Hi, Rich. A common problem, especially if you are waiting to open a bank account, or waiting for your residency to open a bank account, because as you know, this can take well over a year to do. What you can do is speak to your commercialista, who will organize to pay your taxes on your behalf, or in a different model, a different way, and then you should be fine. Now, most people in Italy, in fact, everyone that I know uses a commercialista. For people who don't know what that is an Italian tax accountant. And this tax accountant, part of the services, certainly should be able to pay your taxes on your behalf. Hope that helps. Well, that's all for this week's episode. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions about visas, citizenship, property, and well, really anything about moving to Italy that you would like me to answer in an upcoming episode, please feel free to send us a voicemail at our website at smartmoveitaly.com/podcast, or just click on the links in the show notes. Thanks again for listening. And remember, you can find all of the resources and the links to the people and the places that I mentioned in this episode inside the show notes. Ciao for now. A New Life in Italy podcast is a production of Sentire Media, created and hosted by me, Samantha Wilson. Production by London Nero, and with special thanks to Ali Frothingham, Sofia Pisana, and the entire team at Sentire. Follow A New Life in Italy wherever you get your podcasts. And hey, if you're thinking of moving to Italy, whether full-time, part-time, or for a lifetime, come and see me over at smartmoveitaly.com and we'll help you get here and start living your best life. And don't forget, if you love this episode, please rate and leave a review. It's much appreciated. I can't wait to meet up with you again next week, same time, same place. Ciao for now.
Sentire Media.
Hey, podcast producers and show hosts. Do you want to join a podcast network that celebrates all things Italian? At Sentire Media, we understand the allure of Italy and its unique culture. Our devoted team of hosts and producers are all driven by their shared passion for Italy. And we work tirelessly to create the best lifestyle podcasts and content that will whisk you away to the very heart of Italy. With us, you can savor the mouth-watering flavors, get lost in the stories from the past, break down the cultural barriers, and truly immerse yourself in the vibrant traditions of this intoxicating country. If you have a great podcast idea or are already in production and would like to join Sentire Media, head over to sentiremedia.com, that's S-E-N-T-I-R-E media.com, and find out how to submit your show.